Well, when you read this, it's kind of bleak. And it gets worse toward you get to the end. But you can imagine that what these folks went through, they wasn't too happy with their captors. And they were pretty bitter against their captors. And they wanted to just kill their kids. This is a retribution. And it starts off, though, that by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung up our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. They lost their joy. They lost their song. They just gave up and quit. They were captives, and they were just going to have to ride it out. For over 70 years, that nation was going to be in captivity. In fact, it would be some of the young folks that went into captivity, they would be way up in their 70s when they went back to Babylon. And it was some of those children's children that actually got to go back, because many of them died off, didn't get to go back. But they hung up their harps. And the message today is, don't hang up your harps. I'm just saying, don't do it. Don't quit singing. Don't lose your joy. It's so easy that we go through stuff and just lose our joy. And when we lose our joy, how are we going to witness to folks if we don't have any joy as a child of God? God didn't ever say we wasn't going to go through trials and tribulation and trouble. Jesus went through it. We're not surprised when we go through it. But the thing is, we do not go through it alone. We don't go through it without the power of God working in our life. I've had many people over the years, they would be in the hospital or whatever, or have tragedy in their life, and they would make this statement, I don't know how we could have done it without the Lord. I don't know how we could have went through it without the help of the Lord taking us through that. And I'd have to say that too in my own life. Songs affect us a lot. In fact, there's power in songs. Songs can make you happy. I love happy songs. I love Victory in Jesus. That just makes me happy. That is one of my favorites. I do have some more favorites, but that's one of them right up at the top, because it's victorious in Jesus Christ no matter what we're going through. And so I like happy songs. I do not like sad songs. I don't like tearjerker songs. There's enough sadness in this world. Let's just be happy. Let's be rejoiceful. Let's be joyful in our. I don't like songs that bring tears. I will just say this from a pastor's standpoint. The many funerals I have conducted over the years, don't too many people start crying when the preacher's preaching at a funeral. But when they sing a song, the tears come out. You know why? Because those songs remind them of their loved ones, and that song was special to their loved one's life. And when that song comes out, it brings back all those memories, just flood into their soul, and the tears begin to flow. And I've watched, as soon as they finish the song and the preacher starts preaching, dries up tears. Songs affect us tremendously is what I'm trying to say. And they move us. They make us happy. They can make us sad. They can make us melancholy. David and Saul was a good example of that. Saul, at times, he would just have a fit of going crazy and get depressed and want to hurt people, and at times want to hurt David. And David would play on his harp. By the way, it wasn't a harmonica. It was a stringed instrument, and he would play on it. And it would soothe Saul, and it would just calm him down. How many times have we sat and just listened to a song, we might be troubled, and all of a sudden that calming spirit came over us because of the music and because of the words of those songs. So singing is very important. I thought about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, you know, they got beat up. They got arrested for preaching Christ. They got thrown into maximum security. They were put in the inner parts of the prison, in chains. So there was no way they was going to be escaped, but God had a way. God moved it, and God opened it up, and they got escaped. But in the midst of all that, at midnight's kind of the darkest hour. At midnight, those guys just broke out into singing. They began to praise God. I can just see them singing at the top of their lungs, just filling up that jail with the songs of the Lord, praising God. Now, they didn't have contemporary music. They were probably singing psalms and praising God and lifting him up, and the place began to be shaken. And a Philippian jailer got saved, and his whole household got saved before the night was over. And in the midst of sorrow and tragedy and pain, they did not hang up their harps. They could have went over in the corner and curled up in the fetal position and said, oh, woe is me. What's happened to us? Why is God letting this happen to us? We tend to do that. But those guys didn't. They sung, and they praised God. Singing does something to our soul. I knew a pastor one time. He said he got up every day, he picked out another hymn, and that was the hymn for the day, and he would sing and meditate on that hymn all through the day. It gave him joy, lifted him up. Singing makes a big difference in our life. I love singing. I love gospel singing. I love gospel music. But sometimes people have difficulty when they're going through trials or heartaches or heartbreaks, and they lose their song and they have trouble singing. And that's not good for them. Psalm 73, someone has said that, the theologian said that Jeremiah probably was the one who wrote this. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over their sins. He wept over their disobedience with God. And so they're in captivity. And by the way, this captivity went on a long time. It took 2 or 3 years. Jerusalem was under siege. So it wasn't like they just came in one day and knocked down the walls and took them captive. They were bombarded year after year. It was stress and starvation was taking over those folks. And finally, they were captured. And the Babylonians took all the young people, really left a lot of the old people. They wanted workers. They wanted slaves. And that's where Daniel and all his fellows wound up in Nebuchadnezzar's court there. And so they were carried away. And you imagine even a teenager being carried away from his home, how heartbreaking and sad that would have been for them. And so they've been in captivity a little while, and some of the Babylonians knew about the Druze and how they could sing and some of their songs. They probably heard some of them. And so here's a guy sitting down by the river, and one of them comes by and says, "Hey, how about sing us one of those songs from your homeland, from Zion, those Zion songs y'all talk about?" These guys said, "How can we sing? How can we sing? We're not in our homeland anymore. We've been taken away." And they hung up their harps on a willow bush next to the river. And they lost their song. They had lost their joy. They thought God had forsaken them. They had forsaken God, was what the problem was. Got them in that mess. God did not forsake them. They forsook God. And so now they're under taskmasters. And these guys were not public relation folks. They were mean. They worked them. You were a slave. They put the whip to them. They forced them to work. It was humiliating to them. They were in a bad situation. And probably a lot of us, we'd have lost our song too. But that was their problem. They lost their song. They got their eyes off of God. They got their eyes on the circumstances. They lost their beautiful temple. They had a gorgeous temple. It was world-renowned temple that the Jewish people could serve God and go to this temple and pray. It was a wonder of wonders at that time. And it was tore down and destroyed. And so all they had was these pagan temples around them. And they knew that wasn't right. They knew those pagan gods wasn't right. And so the very idea, somebody would say, "Well, just sing us one of your happy songs. What makes you joyful?" Well, they wasn't joyful anymore. They were down out. So point number one, I would say, is don't hang up your harp. Just don't hang up your harp. Don't give up your song, even if you're in Babylon. Now, what's Babylon? Babylon is a difficult situation we're in. There's many different situations we go in. Sometimes it's financial. That brings a lot of stress. Sometimes it's marriage problems. Sometimes it's many different. Sometimes it's health problems. People have health problems, and they struggle with it. The family struggle with it. And despair begins to set in. And you just quit singing. So here's the thing. As a child of God, if you feel like you want to quit singing, well, first of all, sing for somebody else. Sing for family members. You may have unsaved people around you that's looking at us to see if we're going to give up on God, or if we're going to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we're going to look to Jesus for our strength and our joy and our hope. The joy of the Lord is my strength, is what the prophet says. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what gets me through. So when you break out in a song, it begins to change your face. It begins to change your heart. It begins to change how you feel in your heart. We're down. We're going to go through the ditches and the down times and the valleys. But don't give up. That old saying about, is the glass half full or half empty? As a child of God, we always ought to say, it's half full. It's half full. Things are going to get better. We're trusting God. Jesus is going to bring us through those things. I can say myself, and you could, how would we have went through those things if it wasn't for God helping us go through those things and trusting in Him? But here's what happened. A person, they're going through a Babylonian experience. Things are going bad, and so they just slack off on church attendance. They get mad at God. "God, why did you do this? Why did you let this happen?" Well, maybe God's saying, "Why did you get into sin like you got into?" And God's trying to get your attention. God's trying to wake you up. God's trying to say, "Come back to me so things will be better." Sometimes we gotta get hit with that old two before like the mule did to get our attention so we get our mind back on God. And you know, I look back at the times God hit me and I said, thank God he did. Because it changed my life, it changed the way I think, it changed my whole eternity because he got my attention. And I don't want to ever get my mind off of him. Keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. So people will slack off on church attendance. That's the worst thing you can do as a Christian. We need each other. We need the Word of God. We need to sing these songs this morning and lift our voices. I'm a child of God. I know who I am in Christ. And that ought to give us joy. And then people, you go through a Babylonian experience, you quit praying. This is why I just don't feel like praying. When I used to live in Pennsylvania, and we would come home, and we always came through Virginia. And if you've ever been through Virginia, it's a pretty mountainous state, beautiful state. But there's as you cross into Virginia from North Carolina, there's a seven-mile road that goes up. First time, when I was moving up there, I was going up that road, we were pulling a U-Haul trailer, and I got about halfway up, and the car started running hot. It was real foggy, so I did not know we were going up such a steep grade. I didn't see the signs, and it got so steep, it was hard. But I noticed on the way back to Georgia, when we went through there, it was sunshining. I looked over there, and there's these ramps off on the side of the road. This is a seven-mile downhill ramp of road. As you come down that over the side, they got these truck runaways, and it's got sand or dirt about yay deep, and every now and then you'd see a truck that lost its brakes, and they, instead of going down the mountain at 100 miles an hour and killing folks, they would hit those ramps and slow the truck down. Sometimes we need something to just to slow us down. Don't let it run away. Get back. Keep praying. Don't quit praying. Don't hang up our harps. Don't lose our song. Don't lose our joy. And then sometimes we get slack on the word. So we quit going to church. We quit praying. And we quit reading our Bible. Now the Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's kind of like going out at night and not turning on your headlights. How dangerous that would be. To get out of the Word of God as a child of God is like you're stumbling in the darkness. When I was a kid, I was about 10, 11 years old, my grandparents, my grandfather, and my uncle liked to coon hunt. And they had these coon dogs. And I'd go up and stay with them during Christmas or something, and they waited till about 10 o'clock at night to decide to go. And I was ready to go to bed. No, we're going coon hunting. And so they'd go and they'd turn the dogs loose, and he'd sat in the car waiting with the heater on because it was cold and it was warm. And you'd hear him bark, 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 bark. Then you'd hear him. They said, they treed. Let's go. We'd get out, and they would take off running. And I was following my granddad one night going through that, and he had the flashlight. I didn't. Well, he got ahead of me because his legs were longer than mine, and I missed where I was going, and I went right through a creek and fell into the creek in the wintertime cold. When you lose the light, you're stumbling in the darkness. We've got to stay in the Word. So we don't lose the light. We've got to keep our mind fixed on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we will lose our song. We'll lose our joy. We're stumbling in the darkness. So don't hang up your harps. Even if you don't feel like singing. Now, boy, that's tough. You don't feel like singing. Do it for others' sake. Do it for those around you. Show them that you can go through stuff because you trusted Christ. Here's a little old simple saying. I like little simple sayings because I can remember them. but this is what feeling follows your action. Feeling follows your action. This is what I say. If a little child comes up to you, you know, you want to say, well, I love that child. You really don't feel that love. But you go over and you put your arms around them and you hug them and you say, I love you. What if just something begins to kind of well up in your heart? When you begin to do something, it begins to change you. When you feel down and out and like giving up, and you start singing victory in Jesus, it begins to change something in your heart. It begins to make you feel different. It begins to change the countenance on your face because you've got the joy coming back in your soul. But you don't feel like it. And you want to hang up your harps. And that's the worst thing we can do. What you got to do is say, I know I don't feel like it, but I know that if I start praising God, I'll feel different. My heart will feel different. My face will look different. I'll act different. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When the joy comes in, we can deal with difficult situations. We're going to have them. They're going to come to us. You can be just minding your own business and something will come to you. You hadn't done nothing wrong, it'll just come to you. But when it does, you say, well, why did this happen to me? Why did God let this happen? Well, maybe it's not God we ought to blame. Maybe we ought to blame the devil sometime. The devil don't want you to have joy. The devil don't want you to have victory. The devil wants to discourage you. And by the way, if you get discouraged, you will quit singing. Oh, it's easy to sing when everything's going good. Your bills are paid. Everybody feels good. Kids are okay. You know, no colds, no strep throat, none of that kind of, everything's going good. It's just easy to be on the mountain and praise God. But when we fall off of that mountain and we get in the ditch, it gets tough. How do you get out of it? You start singing. You get back in the Word. You get on your knees and go to praying. Well, I've learned when I get on my knees and I pray and I stand up, I don't want to change what God laid on my heart when I was praying. He gave me something while I was praying. He strengthened me while I was praying. And so when I get back up, I'm ready to stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not my might. But it's like they hung up their harps. They could have sung. They said, well, we don't feel like singing. We're in captivity. They're mean to us. Well, the world is not our friends. They're not going to be sweet to us. They wasn't nice to Jesus. Keep singing. Keep reading the Word. Keep quoting Scripture. Get your favorite Scripture and quote it over and over and over and over again. If you don't have one, get one. You'll go through enough trials, you'll find a Scripture. There's something in the Bible for everything you're going through that fits what you're going through if you just look for it. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship with us. We love each other. We care for each other. I hope you love each other. So don't hang up your harps. But when they did, the Jews began to act just like the heathen because they lost their song. They wasn't worshiping God. They let the things of the world get around them. And they quit singing. I'll go back to Paul and Silas. They could have easily quit. They could have easily turned away from God. They could have easily said, we don't believe in this Jesus anymore. And they'd let them out of prison probably. But they didn't. They began to sing and to praise the Lord. I wonder, would we do that? I wonder, would I do that? I hope I would. I hope I would keep singing. I hope I'd fix my mind on Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. Boy, that's a tough scripture. In everything give thanks. I've told you this before, but we got some new people, so I'm going to tell you again. It was this little girl was talking to her uncle, and he quoted that verse to her because she wasn't feeling too good. When he said that, she said, well, how can you do that? He said, I've got a sore throat. He said, well, thank God you're not a giraffe. You can look for something positive everywhere if you look for it. You'd really have a sore throat if you was a giraffe, wouldn't you? So we need to sing for the glory of God. We need to sing for each other. We need to sing for our own self. We need to sing for those around us. What causes hardships and causes people to quit singing? Well, hardships in Babylon caused them to quit singing. Now they were slaves. They were not free anymore. Well, Paul and Silas were slaves. They were really worse than slaves because they could have been put to death. They were in chains. I think about when you read about Joseph when he was put into prison. They said fetters or iron things on his arms and his feet, and it said they hurt. They hurt. He was going through a Babylonian time. He was going through a difficult time, but he did not quit, and he did not give up on God, and look how God blessed him. Physical conditions of life sometimes will cause people to quit singing. I read about this guy. I really don't know much about him. His name was George Anderson. I read about him years ago. And George, in an accident or something, lost one of his legs, had his leg amputated. Well, a few years later, his wife had a circumstance that she lost a leg also, so they both lost legs. So it was kind of a tragic thing in both of them's life. George underwent 10 major operations in his life and wound up flat of his back, in bed, crippled. And he began to think about people being crippled and handicapped. And so Donnie began to write an article in the paper. And the name of the article got syndicated. I remember reading this as a young person in Cordell, in the local Cordell paper. And it was called Wheelchairs, Canes, and Crutches. Wheelchairs, Canes, and Crutches. And he wrote trying to remind the rest of us to be mindful of those folks going through that kind of stuff. I broke my foot one time. I was pastoring a church, and I'd go to Macon Hospital, and I had to walk on crutches. Thank God for those handicap signs, so I was able to park close to the door in those days. But they got the longest halls in the state of Georgia inside Macon Hospital. And you try walking them in crutches. And I tell you what, people would open the door for me, let me go through some of the doors in and out, and it made me, I always wanted to do it, but it really made me conscious that I see somebody with a cane or crutch or wheelchair, buddy, I open the door for them to try to help them. And George wrote these things trying to make the rest of us mindful to help people that's going through these kind of things. He could have quit singing, but he used his voice or used his pen, his mind, to write this to encourage people. Well, I've heard of Joni Erickson. Joni Erickson was an outstanding woman, and when she was about 18, 19 years old, she dived in a place and broke her neck, and she became paralyzed from the neck down. And she could have given up totally, but she didn't. She loved the Lord. She did not lose her song. Maybe she got her song through that. And in fact, we probably would never have heard of Joni Erickson if she hadn't got crippled. God gave her a national, maybe a worldwide platform. And she wrote, and she sung, and she became an artist, and she painted with her teeth because she would not give up. She did not lose her song. If anybody would have wanted to give up and lose her song, it could have been her. But no, she didn't. She stayed with it. And God blessed her. I had a man in my church when I was, I mentioned him before, but I was up in Pennsylvania. His name was Donald Ford. He'd been in the hospital 29 times when I met him. And in fact, he was in the VA hospital one time. They had a big VA hospital there where we lived. And he was there in the wintertime, and he was getting some help, and he was in the men's laboratory area, and he was shaving, and a guy was shaving next to him, and the guy next to him had a heart attack and fell on Don and broke his leg. I said, things just going from bad to worse. You know, if he didn't have any bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all, as the old saying goes. But Don had this joy in his heart. He told me one day before I got there, he said, I was going down the street. Well, he had MS. And he said, I was going down the street one day. It was a small town. He said, he was going from store to store. And he said, I was just staggering all over the sidewalk because I couldn't help it. He said, the cops pulled over and got out and thought I was drunk. He said, I got MS. He said, I'm just trying to go shopping. But you meet Don, he had this joy on his face and in his heart, and he loved the Lord. The greatest thing I remember about Don, we would get snows. And sometimes it's snow on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We get 6-8 inches of snow. And that'd just kill your attendance, I tell you. And so there'd hardly be anybody at church. I'd stand at the door to open the door. And because I live next door, so I could get to church real easy. So I was standing, I'd hear something clanking, and I opened the door, and there was Don. He drove by himself. And he'd get out with his wheelchair and plunk through the snow on the sidewalk and come to church, and he'd open the door. There was joy. Now, if that don't make you love somebody and want to preach the Word of God and encourage them, I don't know what will. Don had joy in his heart. He could have went home and been sour and mad and mean and didn't want anything to do with God, but he loved Jesus Christ. And he loved God's people enough to, I don't care where it snowed or not, he was coming to church. Had one lady in my church, lived down the street, she told me, she said, I went 19 and a half years and never missed Sunday school. And between where the church was and her house was a couple blocks away, and it was like hilly, it would get icy. First year I was at that church, we had 6 Sundays in a row, we had an ice storm. That will definitely kill your attendance. I'd see it on Saturday night, everything, the trees begin to get iced over. Parking lot with ice over. I said, well, nobody's going to be there tomorrow but me and my family. And sometimes that's all it would be there, because they couldn't get there. But she went 19 and a half years through all of that stuff. She walked to church. And she finally got so old, she couldn't come to church unless somebody went and got her. So then she started missing. Sometimes people with good health and things are going well will lose their song. Sometimes physical features or what we go through will cause us to lose our song and get mad at God. I remember many, many years ago, I was at a family reunion kind of thing, and somebody had invited some of their friends to come, and there was a guy there. He was about 30 years old. He was completely bald-headed on top. I mean, it was just completely. He had a little thing around here, dark around here. And my cousin says, that guy hates God. Said, don't say anything about God. Said, he hates God. Said, he'll just cuss you out if you say anything to God. And I got to looking at him. I said, this guy had hair all over his arms because he had a swimsuit on when he was at a lake. Hair all over his legs, all over his back. I said, here's a guy who's got hair from head to, well, not head to toe, ears to toe. And he's so mad with God because God didn't put the hair where he wanted him to. Think about it. He had plenty of hair, but he was mad with God. Look, if that happened, that's where God wanted us to be and to look like and to love him. I used to have a lot more hair, too. I still love God, you know. It didn't change me. I'm just saying sometimes we'll say, well, physical features, they get mad at God. None of that matters. It doesn't matter. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Paul said it's not the outward adorning or how we look. It's the inward man of our heart that makes a difference, that inner person. Sometimes the greatest reason people will hang up their harps and quit singing is not because of adversity, it's because of prosperity. I say it's the perils of prosperity. And there's nothing wrong with having things and being blessed from God. That's great. But sometimes the greatest test in our lives is when we prosper and when things are really going good. A person gets real successful, they'll buy a camper or a motorhome. And when do they go? Camping and motorhomes on the weekends, because that's when they're off. Or they'll buy a boat, or they'll get a four-day work week. And so they get all these things that they can have to enjoy life, and they leave God out because they can enjoy all these things. They don't have time for God anymore. In fact, God said to the Israelites, he said, you'll go into the promised land. He said, you'll dig in the ground. You'll find gold and silver. In other words, you'll prosper. And he says, you'll forget me. You'll forget all about me. We get a promotion. We're too busy. We forget God. We got to trust God. They should have kept singing the whole time. They should have kept the mind on the Lord. You know, if God will bless you with those things can be removed also. God told the Israelites, you know, they griped about God was blessing them, and he was giving them manna every day. They had grilled manna and fried manna and baked manna and all this kind of manna. They just got sick and tired of manna. They began to fuss with God, and they said, we want some of those leeks and onions and stuff. I don't know why they wanted onions, but they did. And they wanted meat that they had in Egypt. So God sent them quail. God just covered the sky, darkened the sky with it. And God said, I gave you what you wanted, but you lost what you had. I gave you a request, but he said, I sent leanness into your heart. Sometimes we can prosper so much, we forget God and get lean in our heart. We get away from the Word. We get away from God. We get away from God's people. We ought to be so joyful that we're blessed. We ought to be more faithful to God. And so they'll quit singing. They'll quit regular attendance. They'll quit prayer. They'll quit serving. They'll quit giving. Richard D. Hahn started the Daily Bread, still going on today. But he said this, the marks of a backslider is this. He said they have no interest in Christian fellowship. They have no desire to attend church. They have no personal nor family devotion. They have no burden for lost people. And they have no spiritual sensitivity. Being in Babylon will cause people to want to give up on God. But sometimes prosperity will just edge God out. We don't have time for God anymore. So whether we're going through the valley or on the mountaintop, we ought to keep our mind fixed on God. We ought to think, in the valley, God is not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's going to help me through the valley. If I'm on the mountaintop, the sun's shining, praise God for the good things in my life, because God sends the rain on the just and the unjust, and God can hold it back, as we know, and he can send it to us. So when we hang up our harps and stop singing, we let other things drive us. The Great Commission, it's just not for the good times. When the Great Commission was given, things wasn't too good. The church was just a handful of people. And the Great Commission, not when just the government says, we like you guys and we're going to give you tax breaks and all that kind of stuff. The Great Commission is no matter who's in charge. And the Great Commission, not just when we're in good health. Paul was beaten. He was left for dead out the streets of Lystra, out the city of Lystra, but he kept on preaching. He didn't give up just because things got hard. You know why people give up, why people cheer the ball game? Because they think they're going to win. And we know we're going to win because we're on the winning team. But I remember one time I was going through a pretty difficult time, about the time I came to Christ, or just before I did. And I remember this song, and it says, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or this afternoon, but I know Jesus has me and has you, and we're safe in the arms of God. If we go through something, I know that Jesus is there. He has not forsaken me." So a person can have riches and be saved and still lose our song. We can have health and lose our song if we're not careful. We can be good-looking and handsome and, you know, a runway model or whatever, and still lose our song if we get our eyes off of Jesus. We can be saved from hell, have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and still lose your song if you're not careful. Because we think happiness is the absence of trouble. We think happiness is the absence of trouble. But happiness is knowing God in the midst of the trouble. Happiness is knowing that I don't care what I face in my life, Jesus will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never let me down. I'm safe in the arms of Christ. If I go through something, God is with me. Yea, though I walk through even the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. Happiness is knowing Christ in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of prosperity, is keeping our minds fixed on Him. It's singing when we don't feel like singing. When we sing, it changes our heart. It changes our attitude. It brings joy. Get a song. Don't ever, ever hang up your heart. You know, Nike says, just do it. I'm just saying, don't do it. Don't hang up your harp. Keep on singing. Just keep singing. Just keep singing. Father, thank you, Lord, for recording this about the Israelites going into captivity. They brought it on themselves. They got their eyes off of you, and they lost their joy. Sometimes, Lord, we get busy and we don't keep our eyes on you like we ought to, but help us get back to it this morning. Lord, revival is a renewed spirit. It's made fresh. Lord, make us fresh in our soul and our life. And Lord, help us keep singing. Just keep singing. Just keep praising you. Lord, depression can't stay where we praise you. They can't stay in the same body. Help us to just have praise on our lips, joy in our life, a song in our heart, and help us to keep trusting you. And Father, if there's someone here this morning, maybe they're going through a difficult time, Lord, help them to look to you. If there's someone here, Lord, they've never, ever put their faith and trust in you. They know about you. They've been to church. But Lord, they're missing out. They don't know about the one who holds tomorrow because they've never got hold of your hand. Lord, help them to open their hearts right now and just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you now. I need you every hour. I want you in my heart." Are you fearful of dying this morning? Just tell it to Jesus. Are you fearful about your finances you're going through this morning? Tell it to Jesus. Are you fearful about some health problem the doctors told you about? Tell it to Jesus. Or maybe you're fearful of something you've let come in your life you know should not be there. Confess it to Jesus. Make it right with Jesus. In His name we ask it. Amen.